First reading is Isaiah 45, 1 through 7. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him, and to loose the belts of kings, to open doors before him that gates may not be closed. I will go before you and level the exalted places. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards in secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by your name. I name you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read responsibly Psalm 96, 1 through 13. Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord, all the whole earth.
Sing to the Lord and bless his name.
Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day.
Declare his glory among the nations.
And his wonders among all peoples.
For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised.
He is more to be feared than all gods.
As for all the gods of the nations, they are but idols.
But it is the Lord who made the heavens.
Oh, the majesty and magnificence of his presence.
Oh, the power and the splendor of his sanctuary.
Ascribe to the Lord, you families of the peoples.
Ascribe to the Lord honor and power.
Ascribe to the Lord the honor due his name.
Bring offerings and come into his courts.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Let the whole earth tremble before him.
Tell it out among the nations. The Lord is King.
He has made the whole world so firm that it cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity.
Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea thunder and all that is in it.
Let the field be joyful and all that is therein.
Then shall all the trees of the wood shout for joy before the Lord when he comes.
When he comes to judge the earth.
He will judge the world with righteousness.
And the peoples with his truth.
Second reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you, not only in word, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we may need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? Alleluia, you have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his words. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, you're going to have to serve somebody. Bob Dylan wrote a famous song called "Gotta Serve Somebody," and this is one of the lines from his song. "You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may be like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with long strings of pearls. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed. You're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You're going to have to serve somebody." When he wrote that was back in 1979. That's when I graduated from high school, so I remember that time crystal clear. He won a Grammy, and he had the best male rock vocal voice at the time. I've never really cared for his voice, so I was going like, really? How did he win that? But what's interesting is when he wrote this song, he converted to Christianity from Judaism. Yes, you're going to have to serve somebody, and what he was telling the world is that now he was serving our Lord Jesus Christ. In our gospel text for tonight, as you can see, Matthew has recorded that they're trying to trick Jesus. And so they bring the Pharisees together and they bring the Herodians together. And they ask him the question, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And Jesus replied, as he heard in the gospel, "Well, give therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." One person I like reading, his name is Pastor David Loos. He's a professor, and he's a church historian, I guess you would say. And he said, you know, when you read this gospel text, you really got to kind of unfold it a little bit more so that people really understand what's kind of going on here. He said, you know, at that time, the Jews paid a lot of taxes. They paid a temple tax, right? They had a beautiful temple. They paid a land tax. They also paid a tax for customs and trades. And the one that they really despised was what they called the imperial tax. And the reason they despised it is because it was paying tribute to the Romans, who were occupying their area. So they did not like that one at all. The Herodians, they were an offshoot from King Herod. That's why they call them Herodians. And they were kind of local sympathizers, religious people that were sympathetic with the Romans. And it's believed that maybe the Apostle Paul came from this sect. But the Herodians, they kind of liked this imperial tax, and the reason they liked it is because they benefited from it, right? The Pharisees, on the other hand, they were kind of a political party as well as a religious party. They did not like the imperial tax, and they grudgingly they paid it, because if they didn't pay it, they'd be out of power. So they thought that they could trap Jesus with this imperial tax. Now, how many of you have watched The Chosen? It's awesome. And I really like the character Matthew. If you really want to understand the tax collector, you look at Matthew. And Matthew was kind of, nobody liked him, right? The Romans didn't like him because he was a Jew. The Jews didn't like him because he was collecting taxes for the Roman Empire. Ah. And Matthew knew that all the followers of Jesus probably weren't going to like him because he was collecting the imperial tax. And you see, it always reminded the Jews of their humiliation and being occupied by the Romans. The Pharisees, which is interesting, they tried to trap him with a coin, right? Who's on the coin? It was a graven image, right? By just presenting that, they were kind of breaking two commandments at one time. Any kind of conversation about the imperial tax was always divisive, and it was also immediately people knew where you stood. Are you siding with the Romans, or are you siding on the side of faith? Yep. The Herodians and the Pharisees, they got together to trap Jesus. Normally, they would never really associate. But that imperial tax was something that they knew they could probably weasel Jesus into. And they knew that if Jesus answered that, yes, you should pay your taxes to the Romans, his followers would probably disappear. On the other hand, if he said, nope, don't pay your taxes to the Romans, he'd be in trouble with the Romans, right? Oh, they thought they had him with that question. But you see, when they were trying to trap Jesus, Jesus actually trapped them. He said simply, give therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God those things that are God's. You see, with just a few words, he really trapped them. But he was calling them to a higher accountability. He was really looking at them and saying to them, who do you really follow? Where do your loyalties belong? Where is your faith? Bob Dylan, that song, you gotta serve somebody. Jesus was making it absolutely clear who he served, right? G-O-D. Capital, that is. David Loos, he suggests that maybe Jesus might also be talking to us. You know, every time a preacher stands in the pulpit, right, we're not giving a nice speech, we're not giving a nice historical thing. We're really trying to talk to you, right? And Jesus isn't trapping us here tonight. But what Jesus is doing is he's inviting us to declare our allegiance to God. And he's kind of questioning us. He goes, what image are you replicating? What image is in your heart? In other words, if you're out and about, would people know that you're a Christian by the things that you say and by the things that you do? Are you becoming Christ-like in your life? That's what Jesus is really challenging us with. Yes, Jesus is asking us, where is your allegiance? Now, when I was in the service, we always had, for God and country, right? And it was always kind of like a wrestling back and forth, right? You know, we support our country, but sometimes the things our country does kind of goes against our Christian faith. And Luther, he talked about that in the Doctrine of the Two Kingdoms. You know, we kind of live in two kingdoms, right? The kingdom on earth, the political realm, where you need order and where you need restraint. And then we've got the spiritual realm, which is filled with grace and mercy. And it's always something that is always going beyond ourselves. Many of us have strong political views. I don't know all of you well enough to know exactly if you're a Republican or a Democrat or if you're independent. But the bottom line is this. You and I are first and foremost Christians. And our loyalty belongs always to Jesus. Professor Pastor Lowell, he concludes that once we understand that we belong to God, and that's where our loyalty should be, our lives have a much deeper focus and a much deeper meaning. And so no matter what we do or say, no matter where we go, no matter what may happen to us, first and foremost, you and I are children of God. And if we believe this and live this, God will shape us. He will shape us in the things that we say and in the things that we do and in the way that we live our lives. Because we belong to God. We are God's beloved children. Now, typically, when I've been in other churches, we've called it like Stewardship Sunday, right? And the reason we usually do Stewardship Sunday is because, you know, pay to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God, right? And we always talk about our time and our talents and our treasures. And then we're usually trying to figure out our budget for the next year. We're starting that process now, or we've got pledge cards, or we're talking about offering envelopes and all that stuff. Currently, I'm in a Bible study. It's the Crossways Bible study, and it's with Harry Wendt. And one of the areas that he covers is every week you and I say the Apostles' Creed. And we particularly say this part. I believe in God the Father Almighty. What's the rest of it? Creator of heaven and earth. Harry Wendt says, I just want to add two words so we have a better understanding of who God is and who we are. He says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker and owner of heaven and earth. We need to clarify our position. We are just here as tenants with all the things that God has. Now, you and I know that we are the church. It's the people, right? And we have to use our time and our talents and our treasures. When I was on my internship in Ellsworth, Wisconsin, I was at English Lutheran Church. It was an absolutely banner year. It was so fun that year just raced by. It was like everything that we did, God blessed. It was so awesome. Matter of fact, it was so awesome that they were going like, hey, would you like to just stay with us a little longer? And I said, no, I got to go to seminary and I got to finish up. And I remember I said to my pastor, supervising pastor at the time, I said, you know what? It's my luck that I'm going to get a call to North Dakota, and I'm not going to have very many gifted people like you have here. And he never talked real harsh with me until now. And he said to me, I want to teach you a lesson. God has given the church all the gifts it needs to be the church, wherever you're at. So guess where my first call was? North Dakota. And you know what? I saw it. It was really awesome. God is the owner, and we are God's children. I have seen God's work in many different congregations that I've served. I'll just share a couple with you. One of my congregations, we always had a hard time getting a choir together. It was really frustrating. Okay, the choir's going to sing. There was like 6 to 8 people. And they would try to sing, and it was kind of like, yeah. And I got a choir director in, and I challenged the choir director, and she grew the choir from 8 to 65. We could sing anything. It was marvelous, right? When I was in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, they had tried to build a church 3 times. The 3rd time was the charm. We got her done. I remember implementing Stephen Ministry. That's a one-on-one care. What a great program. I saw so many people being blessed by church members. This one lady by the name of May, every day or every week, she was really involved in the church and doing different things. And she lived in a little blue house. She drove a little blue Oldsmobile 4-door car. And she would always come to like the ladies' things, and she would always carry a bag lunch. Always a bag lunch. She would help, and she would eat her bag lunch. We would have conversations with her. She was a widow. It was just her. She passed away. I officiated her wedding. Her funeral. And about 3 weeks later, I get a call from the lawyer. He goes, are you sitting down? I go, what do you mean? You better sit down. May left the church $1 million. How? Right? I have seen farmers helping other farmers, right? Somebody has a heart attack, they can't harvest their field. Guess what? Everybody gathers around, they harvest their field first, and then they do their own. I had a lady that she could not come to church because she had an immune system. She had her stomach removed, so she could only have liquids. And she's going like, gosh, I would love to serve the church, but I just can't. I can't be there. Would you be willing to call people? And she started it. And the good news is she's still doing it today. That's like 30 years. Where I'm trying to get at is when we realize that God is the owner and we are children of God and we're just borrowing or using or taking care of God's things, we should never limit what God can do when people let God shape them. You see, I've always had this philosophy that it's better to try and fail than to never do anything. You learn from the failures, right? And the bottom line is you end up putting all your trust in God that God will provide. You see, all of life is God's. Render unto God the things that are God's. And since all of life is God, and since you gotta serve somebody, you and I, we serve and love and live and love and are ruled by the love of Christ. Good old Bob Dylan said, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed. You're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, you're going to have to serve somebody. And with Bob Dylan, we know who we serve. Amen. We'll join our voices as we sing One Bread, One Body.
One bread, one body, one Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we, though many, throughout the earth, we are one body in this one Lord. Gentile or Jew, servant or free, woman or man,
no more.
One bread, one body, one Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we, though many, throughout the earth, we are one body in this one Lord. Many the gifts, many the works, one in the Lord of all, one bread, one body, one Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we, though many, throughout the earth, we are one body in this one Lord. Rain for the fields, scattered and grown, gathered to one for all. One bread, one body, one Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we, though many, throughout the earth, we are one body in this one Lord.
I invite you to rise and let us together confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the Christian community, God of love, you gather us together by the power of the Holy Spirit into Christian community. Give us the willingness to work together for the sake of the gospel, hearing your voice, guiding us in all we do as we serve the world you love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For seeking the light. As daylight diminishes and the night's darkness lengthens, keep us ever mindful of the light we have in Christ. Move us to seek the wisdom of your word, which is the light unto our paths. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For local ministries, Holy God, you have given us all good gifts and have equipped us to serve our neighbors in your name. Give us the creativity, inspiration, and resources to accomplish the mission set before us. Help us to discern where we are needed and also where we are not needed. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the promise of eternal life, Lord Jesus, you prepare a place for us, even in the presence of our last enemy, death itself. We thank you for leading safely home all those who listen to your voice in this earthly life. Keep us close to your side and lead us to that place where we shall dwell with you and all the redeemed and feast at your heavenly table forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For restoration of health, we pray all for all who suffer with illness or pain. We remember especially
Dale.
Restore them all to health and wholeness and surround them with your compassionate caregivers who remind them of your love for them and your never-failing presence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Into your hands, Almighty God, we commend for all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace with one another. Peace be with you. So with you. You may be seated as we collect our offering. Let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord, and fill to to the brink of blessing. Gather a harvest of the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and dreams of all, unite them with the prayers we offer now. Grace our table with your presence,
Lord, and give
us a foretaste of the feast to come. Let us pray. Merciful God, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who rose beyond the bounds of death and, as he had promised, poured out your spirit of life and power upon the chosen disciples. At this, the whole earth exults in boundless joy, and so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. And after giving thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me."
Amen.
We join our voices as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated, and the ushers will direct you forward. Body of Christ given for you. 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 Welcome. Body of Christ given for you. 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 Body of Christ given for you.